All right, these are the scenes on the stock market. Over $1 trillion was actually wiped out yesterday as the market pretty much collapsed yesterday. It didn't do any favors for crypto. You can see Bitcoin's about 56,485. Altcoins are wrecked, absolutely wrecked in the last 24 hours. And now there are concerns that when you look at what actually caused this collapse on the stock market yesterday, there are concerns that we are heading for a crypto collapse. And when I say a crypto collapse, this is the 2001 collapse in on the tech bubble. And you can see that the NASDAQ went from 4,813, 80% down to 788. And there are concerns that this is what's going to happen to the altcoin market. I'm going to show you where those concerns are coming from. And it is similar to what caused the stock market collapse. That's why I want to talk to you about it today. And then tell you whether what we should be doing, whether we should be worried, and what the next steps are. That's what we're going to be talking about today. So let's go, guys. You see, there's a comment here that says, Rani's wearing black. What a relief. If I don't wear black, Josh throws a little a temper tantrum about how he can't change the color of the thing. Hey, Josh. Guys, how are you doing out there? I mean, I know it's tough out there. I mean, I'm surprised that there's so many of you that are still here. I thought everybody would get actually wrecked with this last little stock market, with this last little correction that we've had. Let me know in the chat how you guys are doing. Let me know how you guys are feeling. I must say, congratulations to all of you guys that followed my advice yesterday. I see 2,560 of you went and actually got yourself onto Ton Station. Now, listen, guys, time is very, very, very limited. This is the project that Alex Becker and Elio are both involved in. It's a gaming ecosystem and a gaming marketplace on Telegram. It's going to be huge. And all you need to do, the only way to get tokens, there's no VC releases, there's no nothing. The only way to get tokens is to sign up using this link. It's free. You don't have to pay anything. And just play. And then you're going to get tokens. And I think this is going to be like one of the biggest cash opportunities that you're ever going to have. So do yourselves a favor. Click on this link. The one that says Ton Station. Go and do it. I see 2,500 of you did it yesterday. I see you guys are playing like DJs. If the market's not going to give us money, we have to go out and get free money. And I think this is going to be one of the good ones. This is going to be one of the good ones. Otherwise, I wouldn't waste your time doing it. All right, let's talk about what's going on in the markets. But before we do that, we have to welcome our new subscribers. Let's go, guys. Smash the subscribe button if you're not subscribed. If you are here, oh, wow. One guy unsubscribes. Are you kidding me? And I see we've only got 295 likes, 300 likes. What are you waiting for? I'm here every single day, bringing you crypto love and crypto wisdom. All I'm asking you is to smash the like button to get everybody else to come in and do it. And I'm going to give you a very, very, very high alpha show today. That I promise you. Let's get into the alpha. Let's not waste any more time. So what's going on in the markets? Why is Bitcoin trading at 56,418? And Peter Brandt said, I read one of his tweets earlier where he said, the market, three things to note. Ongoing series of lower highs and lower lows. That's not a good sign when it comes to technicals, specifically from April. Downward slope of lows shows lack of energy. No other post-halving time in Bitcoin history when the all-time high has taken this long. Make of this what you want. It's not looking good. And if you look at the altcoins, it's also not looking good. So we've got to ask ourselves, why is it not looking good? What's actually going on there? Why is it that the stock markets look like this? Over $1 trillion actually wiped out of the stock market. And it's not only in the US, it's actually in Japan as well. So in the US, the QQQ or the NASDAQ has broken this upward trend. We're now below the trend line over here after yesterday. And you have that also spread to Japan. So Japan, look at this. Japan had 2 days, bad days in a row now. And Japan is about 8 or 9% down. The Nikkei is about 9% down. So what actually caused this? And why is it the USA and Japan that is actually going down? You will remember that we spoke not long ago about the Japanese cash and carry trade. Remember that Japanese yen cash and carry trade? Well, maybe the Japanese yen cash and carry trade has actually come back. That's the situation. So let's look at what's caused this. What was the reason for this collapse? Or what is the, let's not say the reason, because it wasn't the reason. It's the catalyst. It's not the reason is deeper than the catalyst. The catalyst is just the canary, the one that basically cracks the ice here, right? So what was it that caused this? Well, it's NVIDIA. So you can see NVIDIA yesterday went down about 9% or 8%. Why did NVIDIA go down? Because the Democrats, and specifically the Department of Justice, subpoenaed NVIDIA in antitrust regulation. So they basically, for the first time ever, sent a formal legal notice to NVIDIA And what they are targeting in video about is around anti-competitive practice, which is, by the way, a criminal offense in the United States. So you see, it's the DOJ subpoenaed NVIDIA. The shares lost over $280 billion in one day, and it's the biggest one-day loss in a company ever. Imagine that. It's the biggest one-day loss that a company has ever lost. What the DOJ is seeking is it is seeking evidence that NVIDIA and other chip companies have violated antitrust laws. Now, this is firstly legally, it's a first legally binding request, as I've said. And remember that NVIDIA currently owns 90% of the AI chip market. And the regulators don't like that. The regulators are saying this is too monopolistic. And pretty much what they said is, we're coming for you. So this is from Bloomberg. It says reports that NVIDIA and third parties received subpoenas from the Department of Justice are unsurprising following early news that the DOJ is reportedly looking into possible antitrust issues related to NVIDIA's acquisition of Rune AI, as well as other company as well as the company imposing anti-competitive restrictions or requirements on its chip customers. So that is what's going on here. Now, obviously it's unsurprising because the specifically this government, the Democrats and any government shouldn't like monopolistic situations. We also don't want monopolistic situations if they are done unethically. But as I say, that was the catalyst. Someone's asking if I read the chat. Of course I read the chat, Mr. Barnes. Every day I read the chat. I read. That's how I know if I'm giving you guys good alpha or bad alpha. I just read the chat. Anyway. So. Long story short, the problem is not NVIDIA. The NVIDIA is the tip of the iceberg. The problem is that what the market is now realizing is that the returns of the markets have been concentrated into seven stocks, which are called the Magnificent Seven, right? And so what the market is starting to say now is they look at this, they go, hold on, you've got one company being challenged by the Department of Justice. And as a result, that company posted the single daily gain by market cap in history and also the single daily loss in market cap in history. And that one company has erased $1 trillion in 1 month. Okay, now what is the market actually worried about here? It's not actually NVIDIA. Yes, NVIDIA is very, very, very worrying. But more than that, they are worried about this. They are worried because now they're saying, hold on, there are seven stocks that have accounted for 60% of the S&P 500 returns. And what they're realizing is that if you get one crack on one of those stocks, then the implications to the market are gargantuan, massive, gigantic, right? And that's exactly what's happening. Further to that, you'll remember that we spoke about the yen cash and carry trade. Now, for those people who missed class the other day, the yen cash and carry trade originated when Japan allowed people to borrow yen risk-free. In Japan, there was no interest on borrowing Japanese yen. And so many people borrowed billions and billions of dollars, maybe even trillions of dollars, and they invested it, they borrowed it with no risk, with no interest, and they invested it in many, many, many investments around the world, including tech stocks. And so now when the DOJ challenges NVIDIA and they knock down, it's like you're building a castle of dominoes or a house of cards, and you crack one of the seven that's actually holding it up. People are worried that this will cause the entire Japanese yen cash and carry trade to unwind, because people will get out of, as risk goes down, as risk assets go down, people are worried that it'll cause the entire trade to unwind. And so that's why when you look at the markets that have collapsed today, all the markets basically got hit. But the ones that got hit the worst, of course, with the NASDAQ, because that's where NVIDIA was attacked, and the Nikkei, because people are worried about this Japanese cash and carry, yen cash and carry trade unwinding. And so this is now causing a contagion. And if you read the Kobisi letter, he says, stocks are falling like the big tech bubble has popped. Oil prices are falling like we're entering a recession. Gold prices are falling like rate cuts got canceled. Bond prices are falling like inflation is on the rise. Natural gas prices are falling like a recession is around the corner. And crypto is falling like risk appetite has completely disappeared. I love this tweet. I think this is exactly the tweet that you want to see to talk about a bottom. This is why I love this tweet, because it feels like everything is collapsing into a heap. And that's exactly when the bottoms usually come. So that's what's causing this collapse. But that's not what's going to cause the crypto collapse. The crypto collapse has its own reason. Now, you'll remember that yesterday I said to you guys, I think it's a bad idea to be trading in this market. I don't care who you are. I think if you're looking to trade in this market, I think you are. Why are you looking to trade in this kind of market? Because I told you guys that if you trade and you look for trades in a market that's moving sideways and down, you're gonna get killed. And that's exactly what happened yesterday. As soon as this happened, who got killed? The leverage traders. Just look at the leverage traders. Bang! All the leverage is wiped out. This is people getting stopped out and losing their money in the sideways chop. And those people are not going to be with us when the market eventually goes up. That's why I said to you, your aim is to survive. Don't get caught out in and become one of the statistics that gets flashed out every time we have a leverage flash, right? And you can see the OI just keeps going up because people look for trades that don't actually exist, and down. This is not the time to be taking trades. The time to be taking trades is when the market is directional. Right now, the market's not directional. It's sideways and down. Your job right now is to survive. Why should you survive? So that you can be here to enjoy the next part of the bull market. Because remember, if you get stopped out here, if you lose all your money here, you ain't going to enjoy this part of the ice cream, right? You can't get stopped out over here because then you won't enjoy the ice cream. If you want to enjoy the ice cream, what you got to do is you got to survive this period. Now, how do you survive this period? Well, for one, you should go on vacation. I'm going on vacation tomorrow. So I'm going to be here tomorrow. I'm going to do a show tomorrow. But then I'm going to Kenya to watch the migration of the animals. And I'll come back when the market goes up. No, I'll be back next Wednesday. Because we have to go to Singapore. So I have to come back, repack my bags so that we can all go to Singapore. Now, as I said, do not get caught trading. Do not get caught trading now. If you are trading now, you're going to get wrecked. Guys, you're going to get wrecked. I mean, OI goes up, OI goes down, you get wrecked. That's pretty much what happens. This is not a market for trading. There are markets for trading. And when we get the markets for trading, we will trade them. When the markets give us a trade, we will trade it. But right now, this is not a trading market. This is an investment market. This is a buying market. This is an accumulation market. It's your last time to buy, your last opportunity to buy before the bull market actually comes, if the bull market actually comes. And that's a big question because I know it feels like the bull market isn't actually going to be coming. And the truth is that that's usually what happens. That's usually what you feel like when you're near a bottom. I mean, just look above my head. For one, Litecoin is still alive, which is pretty interesting. ETH is trading at $2,400. I never thought we'd see ETH at $2,400 again. It's a blessing that we've got ETH at $2,400. And you got to make a decision now whether you're going to be buying at $2,400 and selling at $2,400. If you're going to be selling at $2,400, there is a great channel that I would like to refer you to on YouTube, which I think you should all be watching. If you are selling ETH at $2,400, I recommend that you subscribe to this channel over here. This one. It's called BitBoy. Subscribe to that channel. If you are buying, you are in the right channel. If you are actually in the right channel. Anyway, let's carry on. So, listen, I know it's tough out there. On a very serious note, well, you can't really be serious. Let's go to this one over here. So, it's getting tough out there. We're 190 days of sideways movement. I was thinking about it today. 190 days is 6 months. 6 months, 6+ months of sideways movement. You know, like, I don't know if you guys have taken the time to actually think about it, because I think we're like the frogs in the boiling water, you know, where they boil the water and the frog just keeps staying in the water. That's what it's like. Or at least that's how I feel it. Today. I feel like we've been here for 6 months in the sideways chopping movement. And every single time we think it's going to get better. And actually, when we look at the data, actually, it's not really getting better. It's actually getting worse. You got lower highs and lower lows. You got a lack of demand. And as Peter Brand says, we've run out of energy. The reality is, he used a good word here. He used the word energy somewhere. He said lack of energy. Now, that is something that I want to talk to you about. Because I think he's wrong about the lack of energy. Or he's right about the lack of energy, but he's not analyzing the reason why there is a lack of energy. And that's what I want to talk to you about. So, you know, like energy needs to be like you want to say almost consistent, like up or down. When you have too much up, the problem is you go too high too quickly. And then there's no one to catch you on the way down. That's pretty much how you need to think about it. If something goes up too quickly, there's no one to catch you on the way down. Now remember, in the beginning of the year, we went very high very quickly, unnaturally, because usually we only go high after the halving. But this time, we went very high, and we went very high unnaturally. Now, what does that mean? It means that when you go too far up, the world has to come back to equilibrium. The market has to come back to equilibrium. And so what's going to happen is there's no energy to push the market up because the energy is way lower. The energy is there, but it's just way lower. And so I think because of the ETF, it took us too high too quickly, and it basically sucked out all the energy. And now we have to go down to actually let it catch up. I got to be honest with you guys, and I'm saying this truthfully and honestly because I know that you probably feel like I feel that this is very, very, very hard to be in the market. Imagine your whole life being in the market, like me. I'm an investor in the market. I'm also a content creator in the market. Also, my business is 100% a factor of the market. I wake up every morning. Can you imagine just for 1 second? I know a lot of you are very similar to me. I know a lot of you are very similar to me. I wake up every morning and the price of crypto really reflects my mood of the day. Has to. Why? Because if the prices are going down, it means less people will watch YouTube. If less people watch YouTube, there's less sponsorship. If there's less sponsorship, there's less profits for the business. My personal portfolio obviously also goes down every time the market goes down. On top of that, my staff morale, I mean, people don't work here because they like me. People hate me, but they love crypto. So they end up working in a full-time crypto job. Ask Andre, he'll tell you. It's true, right? No. So they work here because they love crypto, but who loves crypto when the prices keep going down? So I don't know about you, but my entire life is like governed by the crypto price. That's pretty much what it is. And so I want to be honest with you. This is probably one of the toughest periods that I've ever gone through in terms of making content and making it interesting. But somehow every day I find passion in the fact that we're solving the riddles of the market. Like we know why NVIDIA went down. We know why it took down why the Japanese market is going down. We kind of see the future for what's happening in crypto. And what makes it all worth it is when we get it right. Like yesterday I said to you guys, you know, you should look at this Ether Vista. Do you remember yesterday on the show I said to you, look at Ether Vista, $15 million market. Bang, you would have doubled your money. On a day like this. On a day like this, I said, buy Ether Vista. Bang, I said, I bought it. Doubled our money. And so all I'm saying to you guys is, I know it's tough. It is the toughest time that I've had in crypto. Coin Mamba says, I've been in this market for over 10 years and currently we're going through one of the toughest periods. If you survive this, you're going to make it big. And I've seen this a million times. There's only one time in my life where this market has managed to flash me out, and that is after COVID. The market flashed me out from about August to about October. 2 months, it flashed me out. I was out of crypto. And I came back because yield farming came back. And that was when the biggest bull market in the world started. Now I'm feeling the same way. I'm not leaving, but I'm telling you, I know it's hard to be here. And I know when it's hard to be here, that's usually when the market turns. And so what I recommend is now that the interest is down, just remember to keep your eyes on the big picture. Keep your eyes on the big picture. And the big picture says, stuff you, zoom out. We've spent all year consolidating in one of the biggest bull flags in Bitcoin history. When it breaks out, it'll send price to all-time highs. There is nothing more bullish as fuck than this. That's pretty much the way that I see it. That's how I see this bull flag. I mean, if you want to talk about charts, that is, I mean, even Josh, who will always argue just for the sake of arguing, even he will tell you that this is a bull flag, right, Josh? Yes. That is a bull flag, right? Gee, follow crypto legends. Even Josh, who will fight with you about everything, he will fight to you about everything, even he's telling you that this is a bull flag. All right, so that's the way that I see it. Let's look at the altcoins. Or in fact, wait, maybe not. Maybe let's not look at the altcoins. There's nothing to see here except one that we called yesterday. Thank heavens what we called it. It's this one over here, Ether Vista. Yeah, flying, baby, flying. Just keep flying, baby. Just keep flying. Doubled our money. Doubled our money and our portfolio is 30% down. So doubled our money on one token, small punt, and our entire portfolio is like 30% down today. Anyway, let's talk about the real problem at hand. Remember I said to you at the beginning of the show that I'm concerned about a 2001 style crypto collapse. For those of you who don't know what 2001 style crypto collapse, in the run up to 2000, this was called the dot-com bubble. What happened here was that there was a new technology called the internet, which launched. And the internet had the promise of big things to come. Very similar to crypto. And so people landed up aping into anything that was internet related. Anything that was internet related, right? And they took the NASDAQ in, let's go from 1996, just let's go from 1996. The NASDAQ went up 800% between 1996 and 2000. Now, you may say, well, 800% is not a lot for a shitcoin, but for an entire tech market index to go up 800%, that's huge. Now, the reason why it went up like this is because people really believed in what, in this part of the market, people really believed in what the technology, which was the internet, could deliver. In this part of the market, what they realized was that this stupid technology doesn't work. In this part of the market, things like pets.com launched. Pets.com was the original website which was supposed to deliver pets to your house. You could buy pets and you could buy pet food over the internet. I mean, there was no way to deliver it to your house, but still. And then all of these crashed and they went pretty much down to the same levels. And it was a cataclysmic collapse. In fact, this collapse was so big that it took the NASDAQ 14 years to get back to the same levels. 14 fucking years. Can you imagine a crash? And then you have to wait 14 years for the index to go up to where it was. Absolutely fucking crazy. Anyway, there is a risk that the same thing could happen to crypto now. And I'm going to show you why I think the same thing could happen to crypto. And I'm going to show you how we could actually avoid it. And then we've got to make a decision as an industry as to what we want to do. So what's the issue? The issue actually came from a piece of good news, which I saw yesterday. And that piece of good news basically said that VC funding for crypto startup soared 634%, $634 million in August. So what we know now is that the VCs are investing. And generally, I'd say if the VCs are investing, that's amazing, right? Like, wow, our industry is healthy. The VCs are investing. Problem is that every time the VC invests, because of the damage in our market structure, what they're doing is they're just putting more of a virus into our system. It's like a bad thing. We don't want the VCs to carry on investing because the VCs broke our market. And what I mean is as follows. If you look at these tokens, Ethereum, Bitcoin, Solana, Phantom, those are the tokens that seem to have the biggest and most powerful communities. Now, why are communities important? Because communities are people that love and are interested in your token, right? There's something like why Amazon, Google, Microsoft, Apple, why are those the go-to stocks? Obviously, they've got amazing technology, but they are also the stocks that started very low and went up. Now, when the stock started at when the tokens or stocks started at a very low level, they build community. And over here, the community starts getting rich. And when people get rich from a token, they pay attention to the token and they love the token, right? And so for me, I find that the best way to make people love a token and buy a token is obviously the token has to deliver on technology, but the token also has to deliver on making millionaires. If people make money on a token, they love the token. Now you can litmus test this, but let's look at the tokens that have the best communities. Communities equals support. Community equals people to buy the dip. Community equals liquidity. Community equals building. Now let's, community equals PR. Community equals headlines because people want to hear about the Sol community. People want to hear. Nobody wants to hear about the StarkNet community because there is no StarkNet community. No one gives a shit. That's why nobody writes about StarkNet. Now, what do you need to build community? You need to make people rich. How do people get rich? They buy cheap and they make money on a token. You know that when you buy a token if you buy Bitcoin for $500 and it goes up to $1,000 and it goes back down to $750, you're likely not to sell. But if you bought Bitcoin at $60,000 and the price goes down to $40,000, you're likely to get squeezed out. And so there's a big thing around psychology there. If you want a token to succeed, the broader community has to get in early and land up making money. And the truth is that there's a lot of tokens where that happened. In fact, the entire 2017 vintage of tokens is where that happened. Phantom, Ethereum, Bitcoin, Solana. I'll give you a list. BNB. Just look at the market cap of BNB when it went into the market. $21.8 million. Today, it's at a market cap of, let's have a look, a couple of billion. Right now, the market cap of BNB is $73 billion. That means that if people bought this, and this is retail, by the way, this is retail. ICOs were when we used to sell to retail. They bought BNB for $21.8 million. That's now trading at $78 billion. Same thing with ETH. ETH's ICO was $30 million. Sol was less than this. Andre doesn't know what he's doing. In 2017, all these tokens, Tron was also like $30 million. Anyway, you did bad homework, but we'll fix it for you. You have to go sit in the corner and face the wall. And cross your legs and put your finger over your mouth like you were in school. Okay, anyway. So in the old days, retail used to be able to get into a token at a low FDV, at a low valuation, and they would hold the token on the way up. In the new market structure, it doesn't work like that, right? In the new market structure, the VCs buy the tokens early, off market, before retail can touch them, and they buy again and again and again, and they do another round and another round and another round. And then when they finished extracting all the juice from the tokens, they bring it to market and try and dump it on retail. So let's look at some examples. Let's look at Celestia. The original round on Celestia was at 1 cent. If you were a VC, you got in at 1 cent. The next round was at 10 cents. Okay. The next round was at a dollar. Now, if you were a VC, and the first time that retail could buy this token, the first time retail could buy Celestia was at, Tier USD. I hope I can find a chart that goes back long. Let's see. Maybe this is a good one. The first time that retail could buy this product, it was at a $3 billion valuation, right? Which means, or $4 billion valuation, which means that on the first day that retail could get hold of Celestia as a token, the VCs were already up 421x on the investment. In order for retail to make a return, Celestia has to trade over a $4 billion valuation. How many people in retail do you think actually made money on Celestia? I can tell you, the answer is zero. Because it came to market at a $4 billion valuation, and surprise, surprise, today it's trading at a $4 billion valuation. No retail ever made money on Celestia. Let me give you some other examples. Okay, let's look at Say. The VCs got in at 0.3 cents. The second round of VCs got in at 8 cents. When the token came to market, it came to market at $1.7 billion, which means that the VCs were up 86x on their investment before retail could actually even get into the token. What the fuck? That's a very bad market structure. So Travis Kling actually summarized. He says, even if a token goes down 85% from listing, the VCs are still up multiples on their money. This is a dominant feature of the alts market. The crypto market has allowed the VCs to return their funds and raise new ones based on investments that never did anything and will never do anything. This is a brutal misalignment of incentives. You can hardly blame the VCs because that's what they incentivize to do. And so far, the market is saying, please, VC, list more dogshit coins on Sexes at insane FDVs and dump it on retail. There's a problem with the market structure. The market structure is one where a few VCs, a handful of VCs, buy tokens off market and bring them to market with low tokenomics, with low tokens in circulation, and slowly, slowly, slowly over time dump on retail. It's great for the VCs because on paper, the VCs look very rich. And so what they do is they take their returns and they say, hey guys, look at my returns, the paper returns, because they could never sell tokens because the tokens are locked up. And they use that to raise another fund and another fund, another fund. Because if you're a VC and you're invested in a whole lot of tokens and the token price is artificially inflated, then what happens is you look very good on paper, right? And then you can go raise another fund. You can say, look, our first fund is up 100x on paper. And now I can raise another fund. And so Travis Kling says it again. He says, hold on, let me open this for you guys. The other aspect of this is a much, what, chagrined, what's that word, chagrined? Chagrined. What does it mean?
Dismay.
Google it. VC investing landscape. Put simply, the crypto market continues to reward VCs that invest early in token projects by allowing them to dump on retail at a massive profits. Crazy. Very bad for the market structure. Problem is that now retail's not here to buy the tokens. Now imagine you're in a situation where you're a VC and you counted on being able to dump your tokens, and now you can't dump your tokens because there's no buyers. Retail isn't here. So what happens is You hold and hold and hold and hold and hold and hold until eventually you can't hold anymore. And then you start selling. And as you start selling, you push the price down and that gets other VCs to start selling and the whole thing cascades. And the problem is that we have a fundamental problem in market structure, and the fundamental problem in market structure is quite big. Now I want to show you something. Look at all these tokens. I'm going to go through these tokens and I want you guys to shout yes when you finally see a token that has a community. Okay, let's go. Anyone here part of the Layer Zero community? Anyone here part of the ATH community? Anyone here part of the ZK Sync community? Anyone ever heard of anyone who's part of the Dimension community? Anyone ever heard of anyone in the Alt Layer community? Anyone ever heard of anyone in the Arcam community or in the Starknet community or in the Aptos community? Anyone here from the Wormhole community? No one. I don't hear anyone. Hello? Hello? Anyone here from the Say community? Please raise your hands. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? When you come onto the market and you come on at a high FTV, you don't have a community. You see? And if you look at the old tokens, they all have communities. There's the ETH community, there's a Sol community, there's an Arweave community, there's a Link community, there's the Marines, you've got the Tron community, you've got the BNB community. The new community don't have any fans. Why? Because they came onto the market at crazy fucking valuations and they expected retail to actually buy their tokens and fall in love with the token. Ain't happening. All right, so what happens next? Three things can happen next. There's three outcomes here. And yeah, let's talk about the three outcomes that can actually happen. The first outcome is we do nothing. All right, so what happens if we do nothing? I'll tell you what happens if we do nothing. Slowly, 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 like water on a broken dam wall, the pressure builds. If we do nothing, what happens is there are going to be token releases after token releases after token releases. And there are a lot of token releases. Just look at the month of November. In November, in 1 week, there's going to be $1 billion unlocked onto the market of new VC tokens. And that's not, I mean, just look at a month on month. In October, there's going to be $2 billion. In November, there's going to be $1.6 billion of VC unlocks. And so it goes on and on and on. With no one to sell to, that's like, and they're going to hold on to it for as much as they can. But the problem is, it's like water in a dam, and the dam wall is going to hold this pressure of water. Eventually, what's going to happen is the dam wall is going to break. And we're going to get a cataclysmic collapse as everyone just dumps their tokens. It's going to be like a 2001 style collapse where everybody gets wiped because these stupid VCs started bidding up the tokens. That's option one if we do nothing. Option two, if we do nothing, then we just wait for the fundamentals to catch up to the price. And hopefully, at the same speed at which the tokens are being released, the fundamentals actually catch up to the price. Okay, it's not going to happen. Because the fundamentals are going to take much longer to catch up to the price than the tokenomics. Not a good scenario. The third option is one which I really love. And the reason why I really love it is because I think I came up with it. And I think it solves the entire market problem. The third option is for the tokens, the big projects, to just release their tokens. Forget about the VC lockups. Forget about all the lockups of tokens. Release the fucking tokens. If you release the tokens, the price of the tokens will go down. If the price of the tokens goes down, retail will have an unparalleled buying opportunity. So let me, jobs openings came up well under. How does that help us? Let's just have a look at the markets. Nothing's happened. Job openings. Let's just see. Let's have a look at this jobs opening story quickly. Are the researchers awake or are they not awake anymore? Okay, they are. Okay, go on. Just checking. So, the next option is that we release the tokens. Let me give an example of what I mean. Let's take, for example, Aptos. Aptos is currently trading at a market cap of, okay, let's look at it, $7 billion. At $7 billion, there's no way anyone in retail is buying this, and there's no way anyone in retail is actually making money on Aptos, right? However, imagine Aptos unlocked all the tokens and the price came down to $2 or $3 billion. Would you buy Aptos at a $2 or $3 billion valuation? Of course you would. And so would a lot of other retailers. And so that would create an opportunity for retail to invest and to actually land up making money. And so I think the best solution for this market, if the market wants to avoid a crash, what they got to do is just release the tokens. If you release the tokens, then the price will go down, retail will be able to get in, and then we can start a real healthy market cycle and not one where these tokens are going to get killed. It's the only way that I can see to fix this market structure. And the truth is, one of our investment companies, which is called Levana, which is an amazing, amazing perps DEX built on Cosmos, on the Cosmos ecosystem, they said, what do you think teams and investors getting a one-time bulk unlock during a time of depressed prices so that they don't have to worry about future unlocks messing with the charts? These guys get it. Unlock the tokens. If the VCs want out, let them get out. Let them sell the tokens to people that actually deserve them. Let the VCs out. Get rid of the dirty VCs in the tokens and give the tokens to the people at a low price. And let's reset this market structure. Because if we don't, then either we're going to have a 2001 style collapse. And if we don't have a 2001 style collapse, then we're going to wait for the fundamentals to catch up to the price. And that could take another 5 years. And I don't want to be there. As I did mention to you, Levana is a very nice perps DEX, which is, it's amazing. Just go and check it out. It's a fully collateralized perps DEX. There's a link below if you want to go and check them out. They are one of our investment companies. Over $3 billion of overall trading with over $4 million in fees collected. These numbers don't lie. Levana is one of the best perps DEXs out there. Go and check it out. Also, if I looked at the valuation, unbelievable to think that this thing's got a fully diluted value of less than $20 million. Unbelievable. To be honest, if you're in a buying mood, this is probably one of the good ones to buy. All right, so that's it. That's what I'm saying. That's how we avoid... Whoa, hold on. There's stuff going on in the newsroom. Let's have a look here. So the job numbers came out much weaker than expected. And so now the Fed rate cuts seem to be... Now they're talking about 50 basis point rate cuts. I bet you there's not a 50 basis point rate cuts. Any money you want. Joe, if you want to have that bet... I'll take you the bet. Oh, it's not. What is he talking about? I don't even understand what he's talking about. All right, guys, listen. Remember that there are 11 days to win the Cybertruck. We have to give away the Cybertruck in 11 days. 10 days. Sign up to Bybit using the link below. Trade. If you trade, you get a chance to win the Cybertruck. There's 10 days to go, guys. 10 days to go. Anyway, guys, I will see you guys again tomorrow. But then I'm going on vacation. Until then. Trade well, my friends.